When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wasted words already been heard. Are you really God? Yes or no?
You got to walk that lonesome valley. Where do you got to walk it for yourself?
Welcome to the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, a southern storm of bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast on Pantheon Podcast, where you can go to find your most preferred music genre podcast. Hopefully that's us. So head over there to listen to whatever strikes your fancy. With me always is Jason. What's up? What's going on today?
Good evening. Good afternoon, man. I tell you what, doing this podcast is a reprieve from work. Work has been a lot in 2 days already, Brian. Yeah. How are you doing?
Well, that sounds familiar, you know. This is like the part of life where we can customize our life and not have to deal
this
with
this is
people.
The fun.
Peel it. Fun Don't stuff. Have to deal with people that seem like aliens. They seem like That's we're right. on the same planet with them.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody probably thought because our podcast is so excellent and we are a part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, maybe we do this full time for a living. No, we don't. This is our fun.
Yeah.
There are commercials, Brian. There are commercials, there but are. Not enough to sustain our rock and roll lifestyles.
We had a couple bags full of pennies.
That's okay, though. You know, that way, if anybody annoys us, we can hit them with those bags of pennies. So it could come in handy.
That would be handy. What kind of music news we got going on this week?
So speaking of the Pantheon podcast, so I want to throw a shout out to our buddy Jay over the Hook Rocks. He did an episode a couple episodes ago about forgotten records or forgotten bands.
Yeah, I saw that.
I haven't heard good. Of it, but... He picked Black and Blue for one of those, and he gave us a shout out for having Jamie St. James.
Oh, did he?
Okay, yeah, cool. And right wants to talk to him. So I said, hey, talk to Andrew Daly. He's the one who hooked it up, but we got a shout out. It was really good. There was a band called Icon I never heard of, but Black and Blue, Hurricane, Badlands, Fast Away was on it. So, like, stuff, Brian, that you and I already know, and like, Icon was the only one I'd never heard of before.
Well, I mean, mentioning Hurricane, and this is kind of somewhat, it matches into kind of a band close to the, but you're wearing a Journey t-shirt, but Kelly Hansen, the singer from Hurricane, has been the singer in Foreigner for many, many, many years.
That's a good, man, Hurricane, you know, and they talked about it. I think that first record came out 89-ish, like a, you know, a real start right before that transition period.
I saw Hurricane open for Striper.
Did you really?
Yep, I did.
Dude's got some, well, both bands have guys with pipes, but anyway, Brian, you should listen to that episode.
Will.
And anybody listening to this who likes our episodes with like Jamie St. James or Jack Russell, Frank Cannon, I'm talking a lot about music that you probably like or heard and we're checking out. So I really dug it. I took some notes of some stuff to listen to.
Oh, cool. Well, Jay's a good man. Always willing to mention him anytime we get a chance and to talk to him anytime we get a chance.
What are you listening to right now?
What am I listening to right now? Well, in the car, I've been listening to You Here Georgia.
Man, outstanding Blackberry Smoke record, of course.
Yeah. And just at home vinyl is listening to Wake of the Flood, Grateful Dead.
Nice.
And just random stuff on Spotify.
I did order the Jar of Flies reissue from Amazon, the
Okay.
vinyl of that, and such a good record, man. Alice in Chains, that acoustic lighter stuff, they just so good. And Jerry Cantrell is a super underrated guitar player. And Alice in Chains doesn't work without his backing vocals either. Like, that's a huge part of their sound.
Did you read like him and Duff might do some stuff together, some songs? I don't know if they're going to do like
That'd
an
be so
EP
good.
or yeah.
I mean, he's just, and Jerry Cantrell's solo music, he does a lot of blues inspired rock music too. So really dig it. I like some grunge stuff, never liked Nirvana, but Alice in Chains really did toe that line between metal, alternative rock with some definitely cool influences in it. So happy to have that, happy to listen to that. And like our buddy, a lot of bands have covered up some of those songs on that too. So yeah.
Picture wise, it's cool to see within the week or so, 7 or 8 days. My wife and I took the picture with Charlie Starr, of course. And then within a couple days later, there's Tracy Hightop from Janely Hooker with a picture next to Paul and one next to Charlie. And then Brother Rex, he's got a picture next to both those guys too. So I did the little collage and posted it on our page.
Awesome. I'll check it out and I'll put it on our Instagram. I'll tell you what. So, funny story, and I know where you're getting to. This is a really good segue, Brian. This is what a professional podcaster like yourself can
It
do,
was
but
totally an accident.
well, it works out with our guest today, but there have been two guests we've had on where I posted our episodes on Instagram where Charlie Starr has made a direct comment about the guest. And Rex is one of them.
Who is the other one?
But it was Brian from Kicks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Brian Forsyth. So, but like Rex, it was like, oh man, Rex is a, I was like, oh my God. Charlie Starr is fanboying a little bit over Rex.
Well, we talked to him, I showed him it was the same night that Rex was at the Crow Show in Brooklyn, and he sent the picture of him and Nico, so I showed that to Charlie.
I'm sure he got a kick out of that
He
because
did,
Nico
yeah. He's
filled
like,
in a little
oh,
bit for
like,
him.
hey man, it's like, man, Rex made it into the Crow Show somehow in Brooklyn. Like, man, that guy gets fucking access to everything. You
It
met that guy at the
really
show.
does. Like all of us want to be Rex, you know?
We do.
Well, speaking of our friend Tracy Hightop, who was so nice to be on our tribute to Britt Turner, she's a huge Blackberry Smoke fan, Brian, and our guest today and you did something really nice. So you kind of want to talk about that whole thing and then lead into our guest.
Oh, I mean, like when I messaged Eric Snoddy,
Yes.
our guest, the Blackberry Smoke merch manager. Because I messaged him, trying to like, hey man, can you get Tracy, after show, whatever. And he's like, I'm already on it. He was already, well, Tracy's friend was a photographer, so I got that right.
Yeah.
Got, photo access, whatever. And so yeah, they got to meet the guys.
Tracy told me, sorry, Tracy. Pure, I know you probably told me this in comment. She has a little crush on Paul Jackson.
Oh, really? Okay.
You got a great picture with him. We saw it.
But we didn't know beforehand, before we talked to Eric, that he's friends with Tracy going back quite a
Well,
while.
right. And you'll find out on this podcast with him talking about their Atlanta connections. Tracy played in Nashville Pussy, who Eric knew. They run around with a lot of the same people. And then while Charlie and Tracy had never met in person, again, they had some common friends. And you'll kind of find out a little bit in our conversation with Eric.
We got to emphasize that when we were talking to Eric, this was prior to Britt passing away. So we talk about Britt like in the present tense.
Yeah.
So just so you guys know. So anyway, you guys kick back and relax and listen to our conversation with Blackberry Smoke merch manager, Eric Snoddy. We're here at the guest segment of the podcast. You guys know I always throw it over to Jason to introduce our guest today.
And I'm excited to have on the show for a second time, but his solo appearance this time at least, the great Eric Snoddy, who runs merchandise and does all sorts of stuff for Blackberry Spokeman. How you doing?
Great. Just got home from a quick little run before we go back out for the next month.
And I just saw you at the Columbus show. Then you would you go after that? Louisville?
Louisville. And then we came home. We'll be here and then we leave Wednesday to where we go? Little Rock, Arkansas, Fort Smith, Arkansas, Springfield, Missouri, and then we head out to Denver.
A little bit of real Midwest and West.
Yeah, and then we come back and then we start heading up north. Like I think we do like Iowa, Minnesota. And by the end of November, by the end of March, we're in like New England.
So Brian, when did they come in your way?
He just mentioned Minnesota. That's Medina, Minnesota, which is, you know, a suburb of Minneapolis on the 15th. I will be there.
Yes.
With bells on.
Go and stop by and distract Eric while he's doing his super business like my wife and I did. And then the second time we talked to you, somebody knocked over the tip jar. Like, it went all over the place.
I think I probably did that with a bag.
Oh, did you? Okay. All right. As long as it wasn't us. Like, all next I was talking to you and the money was going everywhere.
And your wife was like, oh, there's a tip jar. I'm like, it's not the first time. It happens.
It happens. Well, thank you for joining us. I know you were on our Georgia holiday special with the boys from Rare Bird. So it's good to have you on talking to you by yourself.
Yeah, I've known Andrew a long time.
Good dude.
Yeah, I knew Andrew. Well, I guess I'm trying to think. I met Andrew probably. Well, I saw Andrew open up for the Ramones, and that was in 84.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What band was he in?
That was a band called Arms Akimbo. And it was for Emory University. They do shows all the time. But I mean, that one was at the ballroom of the Omni Hotel. And they played there. The night before, they had played in the Strand in Marietta, which was a real venue. Saw the Ramones a lot.
Really?
Played a good bit. I remember they did it when I was in high school. They played the Old Agora Theater, but I couldn't go because it was our spring break. So I was out on town on vacation. So I didn't get to see that one, but I saw a lot of them, and a lot of my friends' bands have opened up for them over the years, or did open up for them over the years.
So are you from Atlanta, born and raised, or?
Born and raised, never left. No need to.
So, yeah, you go pretty far back, and hearing about that stuff is pretty fascinating to us. I know last time you were on, you mentioned a bit about, some bar where you weren't supposed to wear your hat or something. But
it was Club Rio.
Yeah.
That's the infamous place. If you remember back during the 88 Democratic National Convention, and after that Rob Lowe scandal, that was that venue.
No shit. I got to know about the Ramones a little bit, Brian. Like,
okay, go ahead.
I never saw those guys live. And, we're at the right age where the Ramones really played a big impact on the music scene. Eric, were they how were the Ramones live?
They're great. They're the Ramones.
Yeah, right?
They're the epitome of punk rock in that sense. I mean, they got up there, they did what they did, and they were great at doing it. Three chords. I mean, how can you make that? I mean, just what they got out of that simple three chords.
Three chords is the truth, as they say.
Interesting enough, that's where, how Mr. Crow's Garden started out. You hear Chris and Rich talk about that a lot, like the early stuff they played was punk. Like, how did you meet those guys? And was that like right even before they, when Mr. Crow's Garden had started or before or after?
I met them when they were doing the Crows, when they just started Mr. Crow's. Because I'd always been in the scene of some sort of where, I mean, of course, when I was young, I would go to shows, but then of course you meet people. So you start hanging out with different bands and whatnot. And And you stick because of you're with some band and you meet other bands, you know, just the normal thing. And then at some point, Chris and Rich came in. I don't remember exactly how I met them. I never really met Rich over the, I never hung out with Rich. I'd hang out with Chris because Rich was always sober and he's still sober, whereas everyone else was not.
So you preferred that crowd.
I was in the what not crowd. Was not crowd. I mean, we drank, we'd have, you know, drink, smoke a little, whatever. But Rich was never doing any of that. He was always sober. So,
Explains a lot.
Which must have been
yeah.
like totally weird for him, like how, you know, how are you, you know, you put up with all that madness. But I say,
Well,
like
it's
they always
probably.
said, like early on, he'd just go home because he was still living with his parents, I think.
Yeah, that was early days. But I mean, even in the days of the early Black Crows and everybody else was getting wasted and high on something, Rich was sober. I mean, I don't know how I wouldn't have been able to deal with it because that would have driven me crazy. Especially knowing the people he was in a band with. I'm like,
Well,
no.
that's probably why they fought. The brothers probably fought.
Oh, that's why they, yeah. I'm sure that has a lot to do with why they fought.
Well, how did you get in the music industry, though? I know you've been doing stuff with Backbury Smoke, but like really what you got you into being part of the
I
music
know.
industry as a career?
Yeah, I started. It's funny because in high school, that's back when you still had to go to record stores or wherever, ticket outlets to buy tickets. So I would go, I'd be the guy that would get everybody's orders for who they wanted, what, you know, if I wanted tickets for for whatever show, I'd be the guy that went and camped out. So I would charge everybody a little bit more. So I would get the best ticket because I was always like first or second in line. And I'd get my ticket for free because I charged everybody else a little bit more. So we, you know, did that. And then I started going out to punk rock clubs, hardcore punk clubs, or whatever. And I just met a few different people. I mean, back in the here, the big punk bands were like Neon Christ, which William Duvall from Alice in Chains, that was his first band. There was a band called DDT, which I thought were great. Those were the two main big hardcore bands. There were other little ones that would come and go. And then at one some point, I just started hanging out with them and just started, hey, you need some help doing this, doing that. Same thing when I was at the club, the Metroplex, which is a big punk club here. And I would talk to the, a lot of my friends work. They all, I knew them all because I'd be there every day. And they said, "You need any help?" Like, "Oh yeah, here. Well, we need somebody to help unload this truck." So that's, yeah, I'll go do that. Whatever. And that's kind of how it started. Then I ended up going. I went to college for a year. Then I took a semester off and went on tour with a guy I'd met working at the club. Ray, and I can't remember Ray's last name now. Anyway, he was a singer in a band called Life Sentence from Chicago. The original lineup of the band,
The band
and
was called Life Sentence from Chicago, or were they Life Sentence and then they
they were
were
called
from
Life.
Chicago?
They were called Life Sentence.
Okay.
The
So see,
band
that's
was from
oddly
Chicago.
specific. Life Sentence from Chicago.
But they were Life. Their band called Life Sentence. And back in that time, if you were, their logo was the life. Remember the Life magazine, that logo, and underneath it said Sentence. So, at that was like 85, and if you could open up any like Metal Maniacs or Metal Edge, let's see what else was it? Rip magazine. You'd see all the metal heads like Metallica, whatever. Different like DRI, you'd see all these guys wearing Life Sentence t-shirts or Life Sentence stickers on their jackets. That was a band that I took a semester off to go on tour with. So then I did that for that semester, which is really the tour was all like a month. But so I got off the tour, went back to school for 2 weeks, the beginning of the next semester, and said, "This is not working for me," and said, "All right, I'm done." Got out, got a real job, and ended up going just helping bands out again. I went to, at the time, if you remember those, do you ever watch, well, if you watch Channel 17 out of Atlanta, there used to be a commercial called the Music Business Institute. I went to that stupid place.
What was that like? Is
That was a joke.
that
But
where you used to
there were some cool
record,
people.
like work in a studio type of thing?
Yeah, it was like studio. They teach a little bit of video, a little bit of management, a little bit of accounting for, you know, whatever. So it was like a year program, but I mean, it was cool in the sense that a lot of people that came to, it brought a lot of people to Atlanta, like Speech and Headliner that formed Arrested Development. They went to school there. They were in the class. I was in the morning class. Those guys were in the night class. So I've met them back then, but I don't really know them. Never really. I mean, I have a friend of mine that played with them, but I barely know who they are. But we were all at the same school together. And then other guy, friends of mine, like in Columbus, you ever go to Lost Weekend Records?
No, where's that?
That's right down the street from the Newport, actually. It's on High Street. But my buddy Kyle, I went to school with him there. And he ended up working for a label for a while before he decided to
Is
go and
Lost Weekend
open.
still there now?
Yeah.
Is it really? Man,
Yep.
like I know like Magnolia Thunder Pussy Records, which is down on High Street farther, like south there towards downtown, and a couple they used to have Used Kids Records right
Youth
there,
Kids
right
is
across
still
the
there.
Okay, all right, all right.
Youth Kids is still there. There's another one that's been there for a long time. I just can't remember what the name is. And then
Used
Lost
Kids moved
Weekend.
off of High Street over to off like not off of Hudson, but really close. It's a couple blocks, I
Yeah,
think,
they're a
away
few
now.
blocks from where it used to
Yeah,
be.
yeah, yeah,
But so, yeah. And after that, so I started managing after I got out of school. I grabbed my little piece of paper that it's funny. The diploma is a piece of paper. And you know, when you're an honor student, they usually say I can emboss and all that on. This is a sticker they just put on it.
yeah. Does it say like good job or well
Unless it
done
says
or like
honor and
gold star?
graduate or some crap, I don't know.
And at least was
It's
it a scratch and sniff at least, or you know, you got like
no,
smelled grape jelly?
it's just something. It's just something I have that's in a box somewhere. But anyway, so after that, then I started working with a band called the Tombstones, which was Atlanta band. Actually, I think they were maybe it's at least the Wake still. Maybe in the Wake became the Tombstones. I can't remember. I've known Stevie forever, but and then I worked with this band Gardens Up, which was the guys in Neon Christ after William left. So that's when I started managing bands. So then I did that, and I managed this band called for that was from 86 to 89, maybe 90. I can't remember. And then when they kind of broke up, then I started managing, well, in 91, I started managing Metalmorphosis, which was Stacy Anderson from Hallows Eve.
Oh, nice.
And there's this, so Metalmorphosis became Den, which became Big Twin Den, which was Big Twin Den or Den, one of them. I can't remember. But it was some Metal Massacre 12, I think. Whatever, Metal Blades, Metal Massacre. I think it's 12. They put the CD and a DVD or a CD and a cassette. And the song was cut off of one of the two. I think it was cut off of this cassette, but it's on the CD. It's a typical Metal Blade thing. They're always messing something up, at least for Stacy. And that's the way Stacy looked at it. He's like, I don't want to sign a deal with them because they've screwed me over this time and that time. But they paid him to go into the studio and record that and do it. So, but he's a bit neurotic in that sense because I couldn't really ever get him to go on tour, even though we could go make a great record he would never tour for.
So what all involved being a manager at that time for you? What's all, you know, if you can.
At that time, at bands that stage, it's like literally order t-shirts, it's book the shows, it's make sure they know how to get you go with them to the shows. I mean, you do everything at that time. Literally, I did everything except get on stage.
So kind of like parents, making sure they showed up where they need to be on time, had food, had stuff to
Yes.
sell.
But at least most of those guys, both of the people in both of those bands had already been in bands before, so they know the routine. They weren't a bunch of new kids.
So in that heavier scene, did you meet Britt and Richard when they were the Nihilist?
Oh yeah.
Is or before then, or was
I
that
knew
were
them.
those
I
kind of
knew
metal
them.
punk scene all kind of
I met
intertwined?
Britt. Yes, it was. Because the club that there's two main clubs in Atlanta. There was 688, the 688 Club and the Metroplex. Most of the metal stuff and the punk hardcore stuff was at the Metroplex. 688 did have some of it. And so that's where most of, if you were in thrash and hardcore or whatever, that's where it was, at the Metroplex. And that's where I met Britt and Richard when Nihilus had started. I'm trying to think if I met them probably like 85 or 86.
What kind of band was Nihilus? Was it like a punk band, a metal
Or
band?
thrash. Thrash
Thrash,
band.
like Anthrax, Megadeth, like
Yes,
thrash.
very much and
No
so in that
shit.
vein. In fact, they moved to New York for a while, lived in Long Island before they, for like a year or so, and then they came back.
Didn't
So
they
did they
open up
go
some
from
shows for like
thrash?
Slayer and Testament?
They did, I think, in New York. Maybe that Slayer never really played Atlanta until after they were above the le that level.
Okay.
They were supposed to play a New Year's Eve show in Atlanta, and they didn't. When they canceled, they got Paul Di'Anno's Battle Zone, and Hellas Eve opened up for them. And that's when I kind of started working with Hellas Eve, around that time period in mid-80s. And I really didn't do a lot with them. I just kind of sold T-shirts to them locally and was just their buddies. But that's how I ended up working with them, or Stacy, many years later.
So you were around that time and you saw, when Mr. Crow's Garden turns into the Black Crows, you're around for all that kind of stuff and
Yeah, that was crazy because Mr. Crow's had their they got their George DeCulius kind of found them. Dave Macias, who now runs Dirty Tigers Records, was their manager. And at some point, Dave was working at Arista, I think, or A&M, one of the two. And he was sent tapes out or cassettes, whatever. And one of them, somehow George got a hold of it, and he's like, "Hey," he came down to see him. He liked him. It's like, "All right, let's do this record." And he changed their sound because they were more of a jangly kind of a band before,
Like an
and
REM-ish band, right? Like
yeah,
call it kind
in
of
that
college rock.
vein,
Yeah.
that to the 3 o'clock, kind of somewhere in that area. So when George got with them, they started writing new stuff, and they got rid of Scott, who was the when they were in the studio, they got rid of Scott Shamel, which was kind of crazy, but I wasn't there for any of that, so I don't know how that all happened. But that's when they got Johnny Colt in the band. And Johnny was in a band called The Law at the time, which was like a, they were just a bar rock band in the sense of dirty rock and roll. That's what they were. And it kind of stuck because she felt great for him, and the records that they made were classics. But still, like the stuff they did with Scotty too. Scotty was my buddy.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
So, obviously, you're on, and Steve Gorman shows up in Atlanta.
Steve came down, I think, right after James Hall. They came down around the same time because they both were going to Western Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Steve moved to Atlanta, and that's... that he was playing with Mary My Hope, and then they basically stole him to go to the Crows. Because they had a Ted Selke. Ted the drummer then? I can't remember. Anyway, there was a guy, Ted was in the band, and they kicked him out. And they kicked Scott out. Gorman came in. And Johnny came in.
Didn't Gorman join them right after or right before Mary My Hope got signed, right? Because Mary My Hope got signed before the Crows did.
I don't remember. That's too long ago. I know that they both got their deals about the same time.
Yeah.
So Gorman probably joined them right before Mary My Hope got their deal. If that's how that went. Because why would you quit a band that's getting record deals?
Well, I think that either in his book or when Brian and I have had him on a couple times, we're talking to him. I think he must have just left the band and then they got signed, like went over the Crows and then they got signed. Like,
that
just,
sounds about right. Some of them were talking to people. Yeah, that sounds right because they were great. I mean, Mary My Hope was a great band. They were more of a gothic-y sounding thing, but they were really good at what they were doing.
So do you have any, anecdote, funny story from in like Chris and Steve and Sven live in a house together in Little Five Points?
I went to that house a couple times, but I don't remember anything. I mean, that was a lot of wasted brain cells ago for me.
How about just the scene in Little Five Points at that time?
The scene in Atlanta at that time was great because the Crows were going, Driving and Crying was really doing something at that time because they were actually on the club I talked about, 688.
Mm-hmm.
688 signed Driving and Crying and put their first record out. And they also put out, I think 688's one that put out the Arms Akimbo record, which was Andrew's band when he was years ago when he opened up for the Ramones, actually.
And were they more punk too? Was that what his band was?
They were more somewhere. More on the going toward the REM side.
Okay.
Arms Akimbo was. They were really good. I mean, they were a great band for what they were doing. Let's think of back to that. I'm trying to think. Actually, I just lost train of thought for everything. I don't even remember what I was talking about.
I forgot what Brian asked too. Brian, what did you ask?
The scene specifically in Little Five Points. Yeah.
Going back to the scene. The scene at that time was really strong. I mean, you had a lot of, like, at that time, there was Mary My Hope, Driving and Crying, the Black Crows. You had this band, Ellen James Society, which was all girls except for my buddy John, who was a drummer. They were touring all over the Southeast.
Wait a minute. He was a drummer in a band of all girls? That had to be horrible. Awful. Terrible.
And so they were getting some attention from different people. Trying to think. That was
What, Georgia Satellites?
the Satellites. Satellites were a little before all of that.
Yeah.
They came out of a place called Hedgens, which was in Buckhead. Then you had a band called Swingin' Richards, which was Bruce Smith, who was actually ended up in the, who's in the Satellites now, the
So
current
Swinging
performance.
Richards, like, but you would take the short name for Richard. So Swinging Dicks, is that kind of what that was?
Well, that's what they were called, the
Yeah.
Swingin' Dicks. But everybody said, or we just call them the Richards. It was either Swingin' Dicks or the Richards, one of the two.
Yeah. That's great.
But that band was great. They were straight up just a bar band.
Yeah.
But that's where Bruce Smith came from, who actually Bruce played in a band called the Heathen Girls too before that, which is more of on the punk or new wave kind of a, actually more of a new wave, just more of a punk side of things. And then he's the Richards, and then after that, I don't know, he played with a whole bunch of different people over the years.
Is L7 from Atlanta?
No, they're from Seattle.
Seattle. Okay. For some reason, I thought they were like from the South. Who am I thinking of?
There was,
Nashville Pussy, maybe? Am I
yes,
confusing
they
with
live
those
here.
guys?
They live
Okay.
here.
There we go. There we go. Okay.
Blaine and Ryder probably live about 5 miles from where I'm at right now.
Okay.
So, but yeah, they're from here. They came in much later.
Yeah. Like more of the nine, like. Mid
Yeah,
nineties, probably.
late, yeah, 90s, in fact, yeah. It was definitely the 90s. Because that's when they moved. They actually moved to Athens for a while, then they moved back, then they moved to Atlanta.
Brian, I think Tracy and Tina from Jane Lee Hooker played stints with Nashville Pussy. I know
I know Tracy
Tracy
did.
for sure. Yeah.
Tracy did.
Yeah.
In fact, they've been
She was playing drums for him, wasn't she? Or was she playing guitar at that time?
bass.
All bass. Okay. All right. I know she started out as a drummer.
And she was a bass. Remo was a drummer. Tracy played bass for that short period that she was in the band.
So, did she live down in Atlanta at that time, or?
No, she was commuting, I
Oh, from New
believe.
York? Jeez.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, they toured a lot back
Wow.
then. They toured constantly. And when they were
I
off, they
want to
were
know when
off.
she had time for law school during all her nonsense.
In fact, I've tried to get, I've mentioned them to our manager about possibly trying to get them on some shows at some point.
That would be
They would be
awesome.
great. They would be a great opener, man. That I saw them live 2 years ago at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame playing with the Blue Bonnets, and they just. No, we'd had them on before a couple times, and I've seen the videos, but seeing them play live is a whole nother ball game. They're just a powerhouse, man. Dana can sing her ass off.
Yeah, I've never seen him. I've just videos. A friend of mine, Nelsha, who is good friends with Tracy, told me, trying to hook that up. And I met Nelsha back, going back into, when I said I was working with the band on the Tombstones. At one point, Mark Michaels from Faster Pussycat was in the Tombstones, and Mark was married to Nelsha. And that's when I became buddies with them. And then they moved to New York. They got married in New York. And then she became friends with Tracy. She's been friends with Tracy ever since. But her and Mark didn't last. But hey.
Tracy loves Blackberry Smoke. Every time we've had Charlie on or something, she always texts and like just always she loves the band.
That's what I hear. It's just like, I haven't seen Tracy in years. In fact, I was probably getting high when I saw Tracy in Nashville. In those Nashville pussy days, pretty sure I probably
We're
was.
supposed to do a podcast with her to do like a review of the new Blackberry Smoke record because she loves them
Wow.
so much. And we don't do record reviews. We only do Blackberry Smoke record reviews when the new one comes out.
Yeah, I just got Waiting to get what the chart results are for that. Hopefully get them soon.
It's a really good record. Like, it's one of the ones where you listen to the record at one time. It's all complete, right? It's not a bunch of singles. And then every time you listen to it, it gets better than the last time. Like, it really grows and it's tracked really well. And I love it. You know, I love it. It's such a good one. It translates well to the stage too, when they played some of those live here a couple of days ago.
They do Barefoot Angels in Columbus. I guess
There was
that's
a
it.
drink at the Newport called Barefoot Angel in Sunrise in Texas. Those were the two specialty drinks they had for the show. Because my wife had a Barefoot Angel. That's how
I think that's my
I
new favorite. I think that's my new favorite song they do.
It's outstanding, man. Just such a good live band.
That is true.
I really dig What You Know, Right? When last time
That's
Charlie
what's
was
grabbing
on,
me.
last time he was on, he told us, well, he goes, because I always bring up other artists to get his, opinion, feedback, whatever. And so I brought up Brett Cobb. I was, well, yeah, I wrote a song with him. And then when I was trying to guess what song it was before I saw any of the liner notes, I'm like, that song's about, it turns out that's the one he wrote with him. So I love that song.
Yeah, I love Brent too. Brent's new
Yeah,
record
I
is really
sent him
good.
a note when the record came out, and that's what I said. I said, record, I love the record, and that's the one I picked out. Think, where's my notes? I don't know. They're there somewhere.
So how did you then become the merch manager for the band?
Oh, so I, after the whole Big Twin Den thing, when Stacy decided, we went in the studio, made a record. I paid for pretty much all of it. And the record was never released because Stacy decided he was tired of touring and playing and didn't want to do it anymore. So I took a break. And then when I got back into it, I started working with my old bass player that was in Big Twin Den. Was now an Artemis Piledriver. So I started working with them, and then I was working at a t-shirt shop on and off, which I did that forever. And I would run into Britt every now and then. And then I think those guys did the shows together a couple of times, at least once. I know I can remember. And then, but I always see Britt at the t-shirt shop. And I was like, if you ever need anybody, just let me know. One day he was like, you want to come help me do this? I'm like, yeah, sure. He did that a few times. And then it got to, he was frustrated with their merch guy because every time he would have to go and straighten stuff out, he'd find stuff that was wet. He would find stuff that was just a
Gross.
disaster, nothing organized, and it drove him crazy. He goes, I can't take this anymore. Do you want to do it? I said, yeah, you're one of the few bands I'd go on tour with. So, yeah, sure. And now that was November of 12. So over 11 years ago.
Was watching the DVD of when they played with Bob Weir. And Britt's telling some story where you guys were playing wiffle ball, and then they had
Oh,
these
yeah.
people convinced that you were a professional wiffle ball player.
Yeah, we had a tour manager, Scott Munn, who was just loved to BS people in that sense. And he had some guys convinced that I was in the Wiffle Ball Hall of Fame.
I mean, who's gonna argue that, right? They're gonna be like, I've been there, you're not in it.
So Paul Jackson is actually in a Little League Baseball Hall of Fame in Florida somewhere.
Is he
Well,
really?
yeah. He played on some Little League teams that won championships.
I wonder what positions he played. Do you
Oh, I
know?
don't. I'm sure he'd be glad to tell you.
Yeah, we need to get him on. I've reached out to him a couple times and no luck. But Charlie comes on. Come on, Paul. Come on, Paul. Get on here.
Oh, he'll do it. I'll just tell him.
Yeah,
Right
please
on.
do, because I also want to talk guitars with him as well. Wiffle
Oh,
ball, Little League, and guitars.
he may not know a whole lot about guitars other than the ones that he plays.
He's got a shit ton. One of the best things for me as a guitar player to go to a Blackberry Smoke show is the guitar porn, because Charlie and Paul like have a different guitar almost every song, and it's like, which one are they going to come out? Which one are we come out with now? And then on Friday, when I was talking to him after the show, somebody's at the front door. I hope that picked up on the mic. I asked him about his Echoplex guitar. He came out for the first song on the encore with it. I was asking him a little bit about it because I'm not real familiar with those.
Yeah. And then, between Charlie and Benji, I don't want to venture to guess how much the guitars are worth between this, just those two alone.
I watched the episode on Gibson. Like, Gibson has a YouTube channel, and Charlie was on one of the episodes where they talk guitars. Like, hey, they have an artist on, like Slash has been on, Jason Isbell. And he talked and he was showing all these guitars. It was insane. Like, they are not cheap guitars. You're right.
Yeah, they love the vintage thing. And a lot of them.
Yes. And I love it. I just like watching which all the guitars they're playing.
Yeah.
So are you involved with Merch Mountain as well?
Yes and no. It's where I'm sitting right now, actually.
Oh, okay.
We do everything out of here. I used to work here a lot, but now I just kind of come in and do all of my band stuff here because I can't really get it done when I'm at my house. I can't focus enough when I'm at my house to get things done.
So. I have a question for you on the merch thing. Blackberry Smoke does merch, I think, the right way. And Brian and I, you know, we've got a lot of friends and chat groups and stuff where they've got a lot of nice variety. It's priced reasonable. Like, they have things people want. Do you know what their strategy, or who comes up with the strategy around that? Again, because they're one of those bands that sell a shit ton, but they sell for a reason.
A lot of the ideas are me and Britt and Evan. Like the Zippos and all that. That was all my idea to start with. Thick lighters. Me and Evan just talking about it one day and decided to try it. But everything, I don't know. It's always just an idea that comes up between the three of us. And I always approach everything with the idea of, what would Gene Simmons do in that regard?
Really?
It's not the Kiss level, though. You guys have, like, I think when you talk about the lighters or belt buckles, patches, DVDs, records, shirts, like, I think you think you set want stuff that people, you have things that people actually want, and they're very fairly
that's the idea. Is, I mean, I'm practicality of, like, I don't want to carry stuff around that's not going to sell.
Right.
Nobody wants to do that. You don't want to make something that's not going to sell.
I didn't see any coffins for sale there on Friday, man.
No.
Jason mentioned our chat group, and it's set up by a couple of friends of ours that do Black Crowes podcast, State of America. And Charlie was on there recently, and he talked about that. Like, he told Brent, hey, I want a brown t-shirt. It's like, really? Yeah. A little bit later, Brits goes, hey, you want to know about the sales of your brown t-shirt? Sure. It's our worst seller.
Yeah, well. Brown doesn't really sell a whole lot. Well, it depends on the design that's on it. That has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, when we did a brown tour shirt, it sold great. But in general, black.
Black. And there's a lot of black. So we bought... My wife bought an orange one. I bought a black one, but it had orange Blackberry Smoke on and Southern Rock on the back, which is really cool. The orange shirt was really cool, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Harley Davidson knockoff.
Yeah, yeah. It's great, though.
That's what people say. Let's look at Harley Davidson shirt. I said, well, because it's orange and black. Yeah. That's their colors. It's also Halloween colors.
You were mentioning being in a different bus. Does the crew have their own bus and then the band, or?
Yes, we do. Okay. Now. The last couple of years, we just have so many people that we have the band bus and we have a crew bus. just because there's you can't fit as many people as we have on one bus. Because it's, I mean, we did it. We rolled around for a long time with 12 people on a bus. That was insane, and we did it for too long. But now we're in two, so you don't have maybe like eight on each bus, which gives a little more breathing room in that sense.
We recently had Tony Higbee on, who's in Tom Kiefer band, and he was talking about like you've got to have the middle bunk. Do you have a preference of which bunk?
Middle. I can't. I used to be on the bottom, but it just hurts too much to go up and down now. You
Get
feel the
bumped or
wheels
bounced
more.
around.
That part doesn't bother me. It's just my back is shot.
Oh, just getting in and out of that low position.
It's just getting in and out all the time. It's like too low. It's like I used to have a car that sat real low and it hurt because I'd get in and out. It's painful.
Hey, going back to the merch stuff, I think we were chatting before we started recording that, but Blackberry Smoke sells a ton of merch. And this day and age, I think merch is more important than anything else, right? Because nobody's selling a million records. You're not getting a lot of money for spend. I guess what do they do so well to sell so much of that stuff too? Is it like, again, the price? Price is very fair. $35 for a shirt, I think this day and age, fair costs. Like what drives all that selling the merch and even the online stuff through Merch Mountain with them? Like tell us what you think.
Why we sell so much the designs? I mean, a lot of it has to do with the designs, and then they let people know that it's out there. But their fans are very loyal in that sense. They will buy. As long as it looks good, they're gonna buy it. I mean, I know one guy that's bought pretty much at least one of everything they've ever done. Still buys one of everything. What he does with it all, I don't know. Actually, I guess he's setting up his basement again now.
He's got a museum. Well, I think you're right though. You have always the tours. There's a variety of new shirts, designs to get. Again, I think the prices are extremely fair because a lot of people charge 40, $45 for a shirt. But you price it right, you're probably going to sell more.
That's just too much for right now. I mean, they're not at that. I mean, I could probably go to 40, but 35 is fair, right, to me at this point.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's kind of what you would expect. I was at a Faster Pussycat show last year, and they were selling their shirts for 45, which is fine. But I'm like, man, that's you're getting up there in price. Like you're starting to get like Taylor Swift levels when you start bridging that $50 mark.
Let's see, nothing against Faster Pussycat, but they're not a, I'm not a, just, that's not a $45 shirt band to me.
Yes,
And
correct. And
I love old
I bought
Faster
a shirt
Pussycat.
though because one of the guy I got tickets to the show. One of the guys gave me tickets, so I bought the shirt. But I was
Love to see
thinking,
you.
like, wow,
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to buy something. If somebody gives me tickets, I'm going to go buy something. And usually I'll buy a
But
shirt
if I
because that's
bought my
cheaper.
tickets, that's you're thinking twice about buying a shirt for that much, though, 45.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think 35 is a good spot, and that's why I try to have a lot of $5 items for people that don't have a lot of money. They can at least go and get a magnet or a sticker. Well, if I ever get koozies back in, a koozie, because that's, I mean, it's $5. People have, if they don't have anything else, they have $5.
Oh, for sure. And then even when like the records and things come out, they always do these great packages you can get. Hey, the CD record, whatever shirt, there's a shirt, there's a koozie, there's this and that. I've done that plenty of times. They just do things that their fans want for fair prices for the fans to buy. And they are the gold standard, I think, with merch these days.
I take that as a compliment.
You should take that as a compliment because you're a big part of that. But again, Brian mentioned it, our Black Crowes music chat group, even I'm in another chat group of music people where they talk about Blackberry Smoke, not only being a great live act, but the fact that people will always buy stuff because they do the right thing by their fans.
Yeah, we try to.
I know I've spent a lot of money.
So, besides the show in Medina, my wife and I are coming to all three shows at the Shed and really excited about that. Obviously, we always know it's going to be a good show, but what should we expect for, is there added element for like the shed shows, that's the family reunion, and then the homecoming shows that they do every year. I mean, all shows are good, but really looking forward to these, like any other Blackberry Smoke show, but these more so.
To me, it's all just one show.
Eric's like, I don't really get hyped up for anything. I'm just out there selling the shirts.
You know, the shed's a nightmare for me. It's just a lot. I mean, it's a lot of people every day. So we always do a shirt, event shirt, and a poster. And sometimes other items, stickers, sometimes koozies, patches. Shed's just an entity unto itself. It just somehow it works at that place. I mean, they built it. I remember when we go there, do one day, then it was 2 days, now it's 3 days. We did it once, we did 2 weekends, and then we go, oh, that's too much. Let's go back just doing 3 in a row. So, but the shed's crazy. In Atlanta, well, Atlanta's the hometown show, so those are always nuts just by virtue of the fact that it's the hometown.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, draw a big crowd too for those shows.
Yeah.
All right, I have an operations question for you here. So, you know, you're out on the road, you're selling all the merch. When you get low on merch, well, so let me back up. Do you bring a big supply of stuff at one time thinking, hey, it's going to last us the whole run? Or do you have to replenish stock when you're out there on the road? And if that's the case, how do you do that?
I try to do that. I try to take as much as I can to start with. And then I've got spreadsheets, and I look at the numbers and go, okay, I'm low on this, I'm low on this. I call my printer, and I say, all right, I need this, and you let me know about when you can have it done, and I'm going to tell you where to ship it.
Okay, so it goes to, like, a venue, and you'll pick it up at a venue?
Yeah.
Or I always wondered about that.
Either the venue, or if it's a day off beforehand, be, like, at a hotel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, all right.
It's easier.
Yep. Yeah, I wondered about that, Brian, because I've been to shows too where they've sold out or been low on things, the artists, and you're like, did people just like then try to sell, or do they have pickup points? Do you go up front like it's a month long tour, we're going to get this much stuff? I was always curious about that.
No,
because the worst thing you could do, Eric, is probably run out of something, right? Because then you're losing sales.
Oh yeah, well, I'll run out of stuff, but I generally have more stuff that. Other options, people will generally buy something unless I'm completely out of their size of shirt. Yeah. That is. So, hats, I need to get some new hats. I know that. So,
what is the right amount of styles for a shirt for a tour? Like, what is the sweet spot of number of options?
It depends. Man, right now I'm doing 5 shirts and maybe a hoodie or a long sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do like 7 when I do 2 girls' shirts, 5 regular shirts or 4 regular shirts. Actually, no, I would do 5 shirts, 4 shirts, 4 or 5. And then a hoodie or a long sleeve on top of that. And that's just too much to me for a band. That, I mean, because I still got to count it all out if it doesn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a lot more time involved. But I think if we're at, like what you saw the other night, I think that's a good number. You got 1 guy shirt, 4 girls, or 1 girl shirt, 4 or 5 guy shirts, or long sleeve or hoodie to choose from. That works as long as we're not, using the same designs over and over and over.
How often are you at a show where somebody gives you merch?
That doesn't happen a whole lot anymore because I never have a chance to go to shows.
But hey, that Columbus show, you got merch though.
Yes.
I gave you a shirt and stickers.
Yes, you did. I try to, if we're at like venues that have shirts or hoodies or something,
yeah,
I try to get something from those places.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but
it was funny when we came in, like, I wanted to get, I don't want to walk around carrying that shirt and stuff, and I went up to the side of the table, and there's a huge line beginning. It's huge. It went all the way upstairs, And that guy goes, "Hey, that's not the beginning of the merch line." I'm like, "No, I'm here to give somebody merch, not buy it." And just laughed.
Yeah. I like
I didn't want to get in a fight. I didn't want to get in a fight.
I like the van.
Oh yeah, the logo. Yeah, it's a great logo.
Yep, yeah, I like that.
Brian's idea.
Well, there's a guy by the name of Chris Clark from a band called Babylon Shakes that designed that for us. But do you happen to know, like, with Birch Mountain, do they take, like, orders? Like, if you wanted them to make a banner with a design that they don't come up with? Or
yeah, we don't do banners of such.
Okay.
I couldn't even tell where to start to try to find that. Make some phone calls and find out. It all depends on how big you want it. But we do, well, I mean, Merch Mountain sells what for other bands too.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's with that, the way they run it is like you really need to sell at least $500 a month or so,
mm-hmm.
at least. Otherwise, it's not worth their time or your time.
Yeah.
Because then they're going to charge you. If you don't sell at least that, they're going to charge you like $100 just to have your stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not selling it, because it's just time, and it takes up space. So, and space right now is a much needed thing, because BlackBerry's always coming out with something new.
I saw on the back of the merch card all the different bands and stuff. And it was Fat Matt's Rib Shack.
Yes,
some people. Restaurant. There's, you know, a few people that have been there. So if I'm ever in the area, I got to go to Fat Matt's Rib Shack.
Fat Matt's is it's good. Like their barbecue sauce is what people love.
I'm assuming they play blues in there, like just over the.
They do. They also have bands again now. They used to, during COVID, they'd stopped having bands, but now they have bands again. It's like blues or blues based.
Yeah, I couldn't find that info on their website, like for live music, but we'll have to hit them up to be on at some point.
Brian, they play two types of music there, country and Western.
Country and Western.
Yeah. Man, I think Derek Trucks used to go and sit in there for every now and then, way back.
That would be insane. That would be insane.
Yeah, that was a long time ago when Derek was still, before he is who he is now.
Yeah. Well, shit, he was getting up with his uncle in the Allman Brothers band when he was like 13 years old and playing stuff on stage.
That's about the time he'd be doing, showing up at Fat Matt's.
Hey, Jason, yeah, grew Fat Matt's pretty quick.
Is it that time of the show? Jason.
All right, Eric. If you wanna lend us your ear for a second, answer some really dumb questions in our lightning round.
Cool.
Okay. What is the greatest band logo merch you've ever seen?
Logo wise.
Mm-hmm.
Motorhead.
Like it.
The Iron Snout.
You know, iconic. It right away. Yeah, absolutely. What is the worst logo that you've seen? And you've seen a lot of little indie bands, so I'm sure there's some really bad designs out there.
That's a harder one.
Nothing sticks out.
Not right off. I'm sure I'll find up, come up, something will hit me like as soon as this is over with.
Like, damn it.
The other one that's really good is CFC, that CFC skull that I used to love. I still love it, but yeah.
Who's the better thrash band? Metallica or Megadeth?
Megadeth.
You're my guy. Yes. I am a Megadeth guy. I think Metallica had the higher highs, obviously, with a couple older, but Megadeth has stayed consistently thrash through their career.
See, I'll pick Slayer.
See,
I didn't give them that option, Brian. I said Megadeth or Metallica.
I was always, when I was growing up, or when I was into all that, I loved Metallica. I mean, that fucking Kill 'Em All is a freaking classic. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. And Ride the Lightning is great. But when Killing's My Business came out, I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
That was, and you can tell just the way that Dave writes
Yep.
Dave's songs. And that was very apparent on the first few Metallica records, even though he
Yep.
wasn't in the band.
But the spirit of them was with them.
Yeah. I mean, don't
Yeah.
get me wrong. I mean, I love Metallica. I still
Oh,
do.
sure. Yeah.
People give them crap all day long. They put up, and granted, they have put some not so good stuff out, but
Correct.
I like the new record,
Correct. Yeah, a lot of people like that one. I like the new Megadeth record more than the Metallica record
though.
too.
Yeah, I haven't listened to Megadeth in a while, though.
You need to. That's, I mean, that should be your homework. Just go listen to Megadeth.
Well, I have this thing with Dave.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
It's just I have this. It's I like Dave Elfson a lot,
Yeah.
and the way that that whole departure went, I just kind
Yeah, that
of,
was
I'm just not real into that.
And that's fair. So then you don't have to listen to Metallica or Megadeth then. Go
So
listen to Anthrax.
I like SOD better than I like Anthrax.
Okay. All right. What about punk bands? You saw the Ramones. You've seen a lot of punk bands. That was kind of your scene. What is who was the greatest punk band that you've actually seen live?
God, that's a hard one. That's a really hard one because I've
Yeah,
seen
because
some
it
great.
sounds like you've seen a bunch, and that was kind of your scene originally.
Mean, the Ramones are always going to be the Ramones.
Right.
Buzzcocks were really good.
I would say UK band as well, right? UK? Out of UK?
Buzzcocks, yes.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I mean, I always thought that. Like the Exploited and the UK subs were great. I never saw Fugazi. Well, I saw Fugazi, which I thought was amazing, but I never saw Minor Threat. And I didn't see Embrace, but Fugazi was always, they put on a great show. But then so did Black Flag.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, old school Henry Rollins there. Yeah.
So, but. I don't. I don't know, because I can't really say who's better than anybody else. Because there's some of that stuff to me
Well, I
is
mean, it's
different
your personal
styles.
opinion because, I mean, you were deep in
Yeah.
that scene, so I'm just curious.
I always just.
I would have loved to seen the Ramones at their peak. I just thought I would think that would be amazing.
Well, no, I can't. I don't. Think Suicidal was really great when the first time I ever saw him.
I
But
saw those guys open up for Metallica well before Robert was in the band
yeah.
and before he went to Metallica. Yeah.
But. I always thought the Tombstones from Atlanta were great. There was like a
How about this
cow.
question? What band did you think would get big that didn't?
Follow for now.
Oh, I don't think I know the Brian. Do you know them?
Who's that?
Follow for now. That was another
Oh, okay.
band. That was in Atlanta during that time when Atlanta had a lot going on. They were part of the Black Rock Coalition. And they toured with like 24/7 Spies. They toured with Living Color. And David Ryan Harris, who's the singer, now plays with Brian Mayer. He's one of Brian Mayer's guitarists.
Really?
Not Brian, I'll say Brian Mayer, John Mayer.
John
Johnny
Mayer.
Colt
Okay.
played in a band with him. Yeah. Johnny was in, David were in a band called the Brand New Immortals.
Yep.
But Follow For Now, to me, it was a band that should have done a lot more than they ever did because they were great.
Yeah.
For that matter, Brand New Immortals were really good too. I thought that for that time. I'm surprised that Collective Soul got to be as big as they are.
They're Atlanta as well. Yeah, they
Oh,
came out at an interesting time in music, right? It was like post grunge, but still alternative rock was kind of a popular thing,
yeah.
right?
Well, there was a radio station here that was 99X that pushed a lot of that kind of stuff. And they helped break Collective Soul for one. But I just, I mean, I don't know how they got to be. It's not that they're not good. It's just that just kind of, I always thought there was other bands that were probably better than them, but they got the break that the other bands didn't get.
Yeah, I mean they sort of had mainstream radio appeal. Like, nothing real offensive about what they did. It just wasn't
No,
breaking any new ground.
none at all. And they're nice guys,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
but I'm trying to go back to that other question. Best punk band I ever saw. The Ramones were definitely one of them. GBH was great every time I ever saw them. The UK Subs, the early days were really good. Neon Christ, Williams' first band was, they were just fun. But yeah, that's probably go to me. It's still like the Tombstones, Jason and the Scorchers, in the sense of they mix like the country stuff with the punk stuff. So I guess those, mean, always the Tombstones to me are always one of them. That's a band that should have done something that never did.
I'll
They
have to
had a
check
deal.
them out. I know I've heard that name before, but I can't tell you I'm familiar with any music.
They had a record deal with Relativity. But every time the president from Relativity would come, they did something to make him mad. And so the record never
That's
came out. They made
very
the record,
punk,
but it
though.
never came. They made the record, but it never came out. But they were just, to me, now you look more back at it, and they sound more like they're just like a rock and roll band with a punk attitude in that sense.
Yeah.
But that was a band that should have done something that never didn't.
Mean, it's a crapshoot, right? Like, there's so many talented people in the world at anything that, unless you get the right break, right, it's just
Yeah.
real hard for you to
Well,
do it. It's not talent doesn't always
look at
win.
6875 is a great band.
Yeah,
Yep.
right? Oh my God.
But they just didn't get the right breaks.
Yeah, we're gonna have
No,
Suzanne on fairly soon, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah. She's such a sweetheart. Yeah,
So
that's a good band. They did
it's a
well in the
great
UK, I
record.
know. It is a great record. Fucking, and
Yep.
that's the type of music right now I think that would be appealing. Like if they were coming out now, I think you could group them in with a lot of the bands and the artists that Brian and I talk to every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I
it's a
don't know, maybe one
whole
day.
different thing. What do you do on your day off on the road?
Movies.
Movies? You trying to find a theater and go somewhere?
Yep, I try to do that. If I'm not working, because I don't really get a day off because I have to prep everything for the next show, and I need to look to make sure that we're not running out of things to put orders in. Like last week, we had 2 days off, so one day I went and saw Bob Marley movie.
How was
Oh,
that?
yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. It was good.
Really?
But I mean, I haven't listened to Bob Marley most of my life, which is funny because punk guy, but I loved reggae. And then I
Nothing
went and
wrong with
saw
that.
the movie. I was at the theater that had the new Hunger Games movie that came out last year, so I saw that too.
Oh, the prequel.
Yes, the
Yeah.
prequel.
Did you like that one?
I liked it. Song, it's Hunger Games and Songbirds and something. I liked it.
Yeah. My
A
daughter
little
is a
long.
huge Hunger Games fan, and she really liked that prequel.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit long, but it was good.
Yeah, I mean, that's how things are these days. Do you get, when you go to the movies, do you go to the concessions? Are you a popcorn guy? You like candy or you just abstain?
Popcorn and an icy.
Oh, classic. Now, are you the cherry icy or are you doing like the soda, like the Coke flavor?
Coke or whatever.
Really? The Coke
Coke.
icy.
Yeah. fact, I get a Coke Icy every morning.
Like when you're going through the 7-Eleven or something.
Yeah, McDonald's has Coke Icy's. I said, I'll take that.
Do they really? I didn't know that. All right. Yeah. So you're in Atlanta. Like, Brian, people in Atlanta, they don't drink coffee in the morning. They get Coke. That's like the thing there.
I don't know. A lot of people drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah, but like the whole Coke thing. Coke's there in Atlanta.
Coke is definitely here. But I don't drink coffee, so
you drink a Coke Icy.
Yeah.
How do you guys function not drinking coffee? That's what I want to know.
Drink a lot of diet Mountain
Dew. I'm the only person that doesn't. Whole band drinks coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, they live on it.
Of course. As they should.
I just don't. I never drank coffee. Even in college, I didn't really drink coffee a lot. I drink Cokes. It's just easier.
My cat wants to come make a cameo. She just meowed. I don't know if you guys heard her.
I heard something.
It's been a banner podcast. My camera thing went off. You know, it said something was at the door. I don't know if the mic picked that up, and then my cat just meowed at the microphone. So, Brian, it's wild times over here at the Columbus area office of All Things Blues and Southern Rock. All right, I got one last question for you, Eric. This is an important one. So, who are the last three artists that you've listened to or streamed?
Robert John and the Wreck.
Nice.
Oh, great band. Yeah, we had him on last year. That's a band that would pair really well with Blackberry Smoke.
They've done some shows, right?
We've done some shows together. Yeah, they just did our whole New Year's Eve run with us. We did three shows with them then. We did a little tour with them last year, and we were trying to get them before Robert had his kid. They were trying to get him to do a European tour with us, but he was having his kid, so they couldn't do it.
Oh,
so hopefully that will come a point that we can get them out in Europe. Because
my beef with those guys is when they come to Ohio, they go to like Cleveland, and I'm not fucking going to Cleveland. Like, come to Columbus, come to Cincinnati, I'll go. Like, I'm not going to Cleveland.
They're doing like three shows down around here coming up. They're playing Wednesday before we leave. We were leaving Wednesday night. They're playing at Special Bar in Atlanta. Then in April, maybe they're coming back and they're doing Athens and Macon. So I'm going to try to go one or both of those. Other than that, I've just been listening to the radio.
That's okay. Somebody still has to listen to the radio to support those guys.
Well, I listen to XM. So
yeah, so do I. Yeah,
specialty shows.
Well, what are your go-to specialty shows on XM?
But then I just got a new record the other day.
What'd you get?
My buddy bought me a brand new record from The Gods.
The Gods, not familiar.
The Gods, they're from Columbus, Ohio.
Are they really?
70s rock band from Columbus, Ohio.
I am not familiar with those guys. I need to check them out. Did you pick up that record when you were in town here, or did your friend?
My buddy brought it to me.
Okay.
His dad was in The Gods, and The Gods were like just a biker rock band. They're freaking great. but we never talked about any of the old like stoner stuff. Because Atlanta had a really great scene at a minute. There's a band called Gonzalez that you should probably check out at some point.
Gonzalez? Is that what the name?
Gonzalez, yes. They had a record out called Torero. And
notepad.
They put a record out on I think was the name of that label. Not Buzzkill, but Artemis Pile Driver put the same record out on them. That's Netherlands or Belgium label. Let me figure out. Hang on, I'll tell you a second.
Okay. I'm writing Gonzalez
Buzzville.
Down, Brian.
Buzzville. It was on Buzzville. The Artemis Pile Driver, Gonzalez. Those are the two big ones. Joe Carpenter, who was in Nihilist with Britt Richard, had a band called Volume 4 and a band called Mezzanine. They were both really good. And Joe's a great, great guitar player.
How many records did Nihilist put out?
They just put out a couple of cassettes and a couple of
Okay.
CDs.
Local
They
things.
never really made real records. I mean, they went to real studios, but they just never made really, they didn't put records out. They just, well, I was trying to get a record deal.
Okay. Any of the other like stoner rock bands you can think of?
So that was Gonzalez, Artemis Piledriver,
That's a great name too, the
Mezzanine,
Artemis Pile Drivers.
Mezzanine, Volume 4. Artemis Piledriver broke up and they started Bigfoot, but they put a split single out. And then they made a record, or they did a demo with Rachel Bolan produced, which sounded good, but it never came out. Who else was there? There was a cool band called Superjack that Billy Milano from SOD and MOD was working with out of here in the 90s, or not the 90s, early 2000s. And one of those guys, Scooch, now lives in Austin, is playing, he's drumming for a band called Duel out of there, which is, I like them a lot too. I don't got a list I could come up with, but I can't think right now.
Well, however you talk to Brian, send him that list because we always like to look at or listen to bands. One of Brian's questions is always, "Hey, who's a band that we should know about?" You know, I think you gave us a good list of them.
So, but yeah, cool.
Next time you're in Columbus, I'm bringing you a Coke Icy. It's going to happen. Instead of a shirt, you're getting a Coke Icy from me if they let me bring it in.
Well, I think I may have an off day in Columbus sometime in March, actually, as we're making our way to Pittsburgh or something. I think we're staying in Columbus for
Well, hit
the
me up or something, man. I'll bring you a Coke.
day.
We'll go
Cool.
record shopping together. If you're gonna get away from the merch stuff.
Oh, I do lots of record shopping when I'm on the road.
Yeah, I mean Columbus has a couple good shops, so you need a couple of them, and you
Yep.
got to check out Magnolia Thunderpussy. If you haven't been down there.
I haven't been to that one. Cool.
It's got shirts. It has a bunch of records. It's a pretty cool place.
Sweet. All right.
All right, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. By the way, I'm going to see you guys this summer in Coshocton, Ohio, at some big
Yeah.
biker festival. My
Is
wife is
that
from Coshocton. She talked to Charlie about it. She goes, "My friend said they would throw you a farm party for you guys if you wanted to go." And he said, "I love a good farm party." Then she goes, "Why are you playing in Coshocton?" And I said, "Because they're paying them to." And he's like, "That's right."
Yep, that's
Why'd you
it.
play anywhere? Because they're paying you.
Where is
Why'd you play?
Coshocton?
Where is Coshocton? That is a super good question. And Coshocton, Ohio is located in Coshocton County. It is the most western and last official part of Appalachia, considered Appalachia. It is northeast of Columbus by about 60 miles. It's kind of in the
Okay.
middle of nowhere. It's kind of close to Zanesville. You know where
Okay.
Zanesville off of
I don't know where
I-70.
Zanesville's at.
Yeah, it's north of Zanesville. So it's really all I can tell you. I've been with my wife for 26 years, and like it's hard to, and I've been to Coshocton for a lot of times, and it's hard to tell you where it's at.
Think I had to limp a motorhome from Cleveland at. I think we were at Peabody's when the engine blew up
Yeah.
or was blowing up, and we had to limp it from there to Zanesville, doing like 20 miles an hour on the interstate, getting yelled and screamed at and horns blown at us the entire time, all the way to Zanesville until we could get to Zanesville, to the airport
Actual
or somewhere near there.
Zanesville is civilization. They have that's like where my in-laws go to, like, you know, doctor, like, you know, the rules in the mall and.
Yeah, all my cousins and all live down in Jamestown, so.
Yes, we are real close to there. Yep, getting close to New Albany and Newark and all that stuff. Yeah, right in that area. Yeah, Newark's like 30 miles from Coshocton. You know, back where they had that Longaberger basket building. Did you ever see that thing, that office building that looked like the basket? No? Okay.
No.
Yeah. You missed Where's out. That? It's in it's off of Route 16 just east of Newark. And it's Longaberger baskets used to be this big deal, like these fancy baskets. So their corporate headquarters was built, like the architecture, to look like a basket. It even has the handles on the roof.
That's cool. I need to go find that. I like roadside.
You may see it. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know what direction you guys are coming in or out of Coshocton, but you could, you may go by it. It's possible.
Who knows? I can't.
But you know, let me know if you and the guys want to have a farm party for that. We will hook you up.
All right.
And my wife and Charlie have already talked about it, so it's already on the radar.
All right.
All right, that's a perfect place to stop. Eric, thanks so much for joining us. I know you're off for the road for a couple of days, so we do appreciate you getting on and talking to us a little bit more. Brian, over to you.
Well, thank you so much to Eric Snoddy, merch manager for Blackberry Smoke, for coming on. It was a great conversation. We enjoyed it. And anytime you want to come back, we'd be glad to have you.
Sounds good. Just let me know.
Thank you so much for Eric Snoddy, merch manager for Blackberry Smoke, for coming on. It's cool. We got someone that is, you know, inside the kind of the, you know, what am I trying to say?
Inside the music scene with Blackberry Smoke, of course, yeah, one of our favorite bands.
One of the insiders, one to, you know, seeing what else goes on with bands and stuff. And, you know, it's cool. We finally got to talk to a merch person, and hopefully that'll build up to a sound guy. But no, talking to Eric is cool because we get to hear about the beginnings of the Atlanta scene.
Yeah, and a lot of punk stuff. He was well in the punk music scene, which I was surprised about, but also super cool to hear. Hey, you got to see the Ramones in person. You know, he knew Andrew Kyler from a long time. Like, all these really interesting bands and times there.
Yeah, you know, and it wasn't until really recently, and I heard Chris Robinson talking about him too, but William Duvall is from Atlanta and was in Neon Christ. And yeah, it's just cool. I mean, I'm just such a, I don't know, I consider myself a music historian. So it's just like cool to hear about these different scenes and part of the country and get to know a little more about the beginning details. That's just,
yeah. And again, badass. Going back to the merch stuff though, too, is like, you know, hear the business perspective, particularly from a group that does all the merch stuff right. So why do they do what they do? You know, how do they get? I thought that was fascinating because I'm just generally a curious person, and like, I thought that was cool to find out a little bit about the merch business.
Yeah, and then you too emphasizing, you know, a few times like how good they run their merch.
Yeah,
you know, that's like reasonably priced, and they got so many different products. I think, you know, when you go on their merch page, you see so many different things.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've probably got more stuff than any band I've seen.
But as a consumer, right? Like, one, you're not going to buy something that you don't feel is to be fair priced, right? So you got to do that. And two, you got to have a variety to keep people coming back of that. And they, Blackberry Smoke knocks it out of the park, because I have far and away more Blackberry Smoke merch than any other band.
Yeah. Everything from lighters to coffee to beer to,
I got a shit ton of shirts and some other things. I'm like, you know what? And I keep buying it because I love the band, but they have good shit and it's well priced.
Yeah, that's for sure. So yeah, all good. Hearing about this, the merch end of things with Eric. So we're very grateful for that. And we're grateful to say, always remember, Southern Rock is reverent, blues is blood. We'll see you next time.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.